Welcome to this meeting of Exmouth Town Council on, the 18th of September 2023. Okay, item one is, we have no public speakers.
No.
We have apologies for absence. Do we have any apologies?
Councillor David Poore and Councillor Andrew Woodward.
Okay.
A couple of hands raised, Chair.
Yes, there's, if you look at the book, I've actually written some other apologies in. Okay. Alex Sadiq, Andrew Coleman, Nick Hookway, and there was somebody else.
We had received Nick Hookway's apologies, actually.
Angela
Boatwright, okay.
Angela Boatwright as well.
Okay. Any others? Okay, thank you.
Okay, those apologies are all noted. Thank you very much. Minutes of the last meeting. Do we have a proposer and seconder? Councillor Bailey.
Yes, I'm proposer.
Thank you very much. Seconder?
Awesome.
Yep. Councillor Stott. All in favour?
Can I just say that the printed copies that we'll ask you to sign at the end of the meeting have been updated to reflect that Councillor Nicholas was in attendance because her name was missing off the draft minutes that were circulated. But the printed version for your signature reflects that you were here. And we're sorry.
Shocking.
We're sorry about that.
Shocking.
Yes, actually, I was missed off the minutes of the town premises. I was there, even though I was a non-voting member.
Okay.
So, any matters arising?
Not that aren't covered on the agenda, no.
Excellent. Declarations of pecuniary interest. Anybody got anything to declare? No? Excellent. Item 5, to resolve that the press and public be excluded from the meeting during the consideration of items in part 2 of the agenda, as it involves a likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in Part 1, Schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972. We do have such an item today, so do I have a proposer? Councillor Gazzard, seconder, Councillor Deasy, I think. So thank you very much. All in favour?
Thank you.
Excellent. Before we go on to item 6, I'm going to suggest we switch around items 6 and 7 as Inspector Weeks is here, I think.
Yes. Do you want a microphone?
Okay, yes. Yes.
And as they've taken the trouble to come, they've got the radio, so they might get a call out at any minute. Is that likely to happen? Hopefully not. So we'll move item 7 before item 6, and then we'll consider item 6 and from then on. So, a very warm welcome to Inspector Antonia Weeks, who's come to see us today. And
Sergeant Stonecliff.
Richard.
Sergeant Richard Stonecliff. Nice to see you both. Both familiar names, but no faces. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you. Normally, I'd start my introduction or my little roundup with some statistical information on crime and incidents, but I am at the moment unable to provide any of that due to a new data or crime reporting system that we have in force. So apologies for that. But I've been keeping obviously my own professional observations over the last few months, and I'm quite confident there's been no significant crime increases, trends or series, and the crime commission rate is probably comparable to that of the pre-pandemic years, which is what we would normally compare to now. We've sort of taken the pandemic years out of the equation because they were markedly skewed. Plus, the main crime type that we deal with on a sort of daily basis continues to incidents, and that's mainly assaults and other associated incidents such as malicious communications. We're seeing a relatively small number of assaults in the public domain or connected with nighttime economy. We are seeing some of those do involve younger people. And across the board, we're seeing really quite low levels of acquisitive crime, so thefts, burglaries and robberies. We're not seeing an awful lot of. Our calls for service increased over the summer period, as you might expect, but they again reflected the sort of pre-pandemic levels. Our 999 service is now on target. You may have been aware that we were lacking in that department for quite a while, but some vast improvements have been made, and that's also reflected with the 101 service. Although we are encouraging people to use our online reporting system, which is a little bit different now. If you go to our website, you'll see the online reporting portal, and that is where we are signposting people to make general inquiries into the organisation. So we have been dealing with quite a few reports of ASB in the town centre, mainly related to our street drinking cohort, though the complaints were probably down marginally on previous years. We're working in partnership with East Devon District Council to address this issue, although all the individuals involved are vulnerable themselves and they do have complex needs. A couple of the individuals have been rehoused recently out of the area. Anything like that can help change the dynamic, hopefully for the better. We have been working with EDDC to look at alternative civil powers at their disposal to address ASB. It's not straightforward in that regard, or as straightforward as we'd like it to be. So if any of you are sitting on the district council working parties looking at community safety, it would be really helpful if you could use any influence you have to encourage them to exercise these civil powers to address ASB in the community. And I'm talking about things such as community protection notices, ASB escalation and so on. We haven't seen as much significant youth ASB this year as we might have done. It has been mainly adults. We've had bits and bobs mainly related to behaviour associated with the weather and the hot weather, jumping off the pier head and so on. We've been responding to that as required. What we haven't seen is some of the issues we saw over the pandemic, such as the gatherings on the seafront and the sort of partying, if you like, on the beach. The neighbourhood team, led by Richard, have had a really productive 12 months, resulting in a really quite impressive number of drug seizures, which we estimate the value to be in or around sort of £400,000 worth that we've taken off the street, which is really good. And we're now looking at some investigations related with those seizures to look at the organisational crime behind that and to dig into that a little bit further. Unfortunately, a disproportionate amount of their time has been taken up dealing with neighbour disputes, which is usually over things like, you know, just boundaries and building work and so on. If we get involved, we're going to exercise our criminal justice powers to deal with that, which isn't actually what people want when they involve us, and it's not a great use of our time. So again, if any of you have a role within the community that is influential over anything like that, we'd really appreciate your support in preventing disputes such as that getting to the level where we become involved. And some of that can sit at planning process decisions, possibly. So looking at our resourcing, our staffing, the police recruiting applicant programme is now concluded, and the numbers in the force across Devon and Cornwall have increased by around about 600 officers, and we're at a higher level of police officers in force than we have been certainly in the last 15 years. However, just to be realistic with you, that's not reflected in a massive increase locally. So the local officer numbers have probably only increased around sort of 3 to 5 officers, and that's spread across the 5 operational shifts. Most of the uplift went to support other departments such as criminal investigation, domestic abuse investigation, public protection and so on. However, the neighbourhood team is currently fully staffed officers and three PCSOs. And the new police station is still, of course, to be open, I hope, by late 2025 at the latest. And I think it should be going to planning in the next couple of weeks. That is my update, very briefly. I'm happy to take questions about any specific issues to address the issues that you may have.
Thank you very much. Actually, I've got a quick one. You mentioned 400 of drug seizures. Is there any kind of particular pattern to the type of drugs that you're picking
it's
up?
It's a combination of cocaine, cannabis, and groves, which are far more common than certainly when I first saw the police, we didn't have them at all when I first joined that. In mainly residential properties. But a few in outbuilding types at times. But yes, cannabis and cocaine, which appear to be the most popular drugs at the moment.
Right. And related to that, anyone who was at the recent meeting of the placemaking group will know that a couple have done a survey of students at Community College, which had about 400 respondents. Some of them reported having been approached online to County Mines operations. And we wondered if you were aware, I'm sure if you are, of that type of approach, that it's not necessarily just being approached on the street, but actually kind of online grooming and online approaches.
That does happen.
And what action you take.
County Mines is a term I've got. Tired of, I think. There's always been ways of selling drugs and different MOs, as we call them, for drug dealing. There's always been an element of people further up a drugs chain, whether it's an organised crime group or just someone who's further up that distribution network of taking advantage of other people, which has historically been vulnerable people, young people, people who are drug addicts already, people that are groomed or encouraged to take drugs to become addicts so that other people can control. And it's certainly something that we are aware of, and colleagues do work with the Community College and the other schools across our area. Then there's an argument to say so that if we want to protect people from harm, we can put far more of our resources into trying to reach out to people who are sitting at home in the lounge or in their bedrooms online than we would actually out here. Now, I think that the public perception in Exmouth will be pretty similar to in any of my other towns and villages. We don't see enough uniformed police officers, but we respond to threat, risk and harm. And my opinion is that actually there's a lot more threat, risk and harm coming off a device in someone's bedroom than there could be with them wandering around the town. But it's just another way of reaching out to them. We get a lot of approaches through WhatsApp groups, Snapchat, links like that, and as and when we seize drugs, we always seize phones, laptops, tablets, etc., to download what's going on there. And it's fascinating to see the links between people. The actual dealers themselves, the county line, the line is actually the phone line, isn't it? That's where the names come from. The county bit, because originally they come out of big cities into county areas, like here. But it's something we're aware of. Dealing with it is difficult, particularly if they're using burner phones or things that we can't penetrate to get a tablet like this one downloaded. It takes literally months. So we're always keen to ask people when we arrest them, can we have the code? Now, we don't have the power to get to give the code, sometimes they do. If they're confident there's nothing on their phone or tablet, they'll give the code straight away. But when we get downloads, it's reams of messages and contacts.
Thanks very much. Okay. Sort of keep going around. So, Councillor Cagle.
Thank you. I've got three questions. I've got one for Inspector Weeds, one for Sergeant Stanton. But before I ask those questions, a neighbour of mine has used the online reporting system to report a matter that he was concerned about. Today has not received any reply.
Do you know when he made the report?
I don't, but I can find out. Get
yes, you, you've got my email. Yeah. I'm desperately trying to be formal here and not call you by first name.
Yeah.
But just, I'm going to message you tomorrow anyway.
Yeah.
If you find out, and I'll chase it up.
Okay.
I don't know what the turnaround time on it is.
It's not quick.
No, but when you just said that you would rather things were done like that, he actually used that system and has not got a response.
No, so we, I mean, so the organisational line is, we are, that is what we are doing, where we are signposting people, but the response to that method of reporting, it's not for lifetime or urgent issues, but it's the preferred means of contacting the organisation, but the turnaround time on that at the moment is not quick, but there is method, there is measures in place to improve that.
That's useful, because I can go back to them and tell them that, you know, it's still in its infancy, yeah, and it's not quick. But
what would be useful to me is that if you get that gentleman's email address as well.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, councillor, but I will try and get some searching up. One of the problems is when people email in or use an online system, if it is taking time before there's a response, they contact us a different way, which happens this evening to be by you.
Yeah.
And then we can end up with two reports. And that report comes through, sometimes a day later or maybe a week later. So a contact number, if they have to speak to me or one of my PCs, we'll get it sorted.
Super, understood, thank you for that response. The first question then is for Inspector. We used to have lag.
Mm-hmm.
Now we don't seem to have it anymore. Is it dropped away? Is it something that the district council dropped away from? Is it something the police dropped away from? It just doesn't seem to exist. Are we going to still continue with it?
So lag was a bit of a COVID casualty. It was actually always the tactical arm, if you like, of the community safety partnership. So it's owned, if you like, by the district council. Police are a participant along with everyone else. So I have been discussing with the East End District Council, Melody Trott, who's the lead on that, and she has some plans to reinvigorate that, because that's part of her portfolio, is the community safety partnership. So I'm having that conversation with her. If I create one, it is then a police meeting, and it loses the benefits of it being a multi-agency partnership. So I am looking to the District Council to lead on it, or indeed any other agency, and we will participate. But at the moment, it's kind of like a work in progress.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Can I just interject and add something to that, to say that I also spoke to Matt Blythe last week.
Yeah.
To ask about the progress on reinstating the community safety partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd cited problems with resources, and that they don't have enough resource potentially in-house to provide the clerical support for such a meeting across the whole of East Devon. And if they do it for Exmouth, then they need to do it for the whole district. So I did offer administrative support from the town council and said that my team would be prepared to do the agendas, organise the meeting space and take the meeting notes if that was the issue, but that we would like to see it reinstated in Exmouth. And that was following feedback from Councillor Gazzard in particular. So I have offered that. So
certainly if any meeting under that sort of agenda is proposed and created, police will participate. I think there's benefit to it not being primarily police-led, and that is just to make sure that it's this kind of parity across all agencies. But that's certainly, I mean, there's no reason why Exmouth can't do it. It doesn't have to be dependent on other areas doing it. So, yeah, that's good to hear.
Good, thank you. The next question was for Sergeant Stoker. As people know, we installed, paid for and installed a new CCTV system. We have 10 cameras in place. We then contracted out Torbay's CCTV control room to manage the requests from the police. Do you know whether there's been a lot of requests from the police for footage?
Has it
been working well? Are there any issues?
I don't have figures for you. shame that I'm making that request. And do we want to be one of the most surveilled countries in the rest of Europe,
yeah,
the world, whatever?
We probably all feel that. But
you know, and I don't like the idea that if I walk down a street now, there's lots of doorbell cameras watching me on a different level from the CCTV system, but they really are useful when we have a crime in that road.
Yeah.
So it's a balance, isn't it? But in general, I think it's working well. I think you and I are due a catch-up anyway.
Yeah.
We were discussing something else a minute ago, so we'll look at a few things. We've got talk about moving a camera, haven't we, to sort of try and address some of the antisocial driving. It won't affect the noise. I can hear a noise in the exhaust now. One car, I don't know. But in the Carlton Hill area on the roundabout with Solson Road, there's complaints about donuts and perhaps a camera there. Even if it didn't catch registration numbers, council, it might put them off. So we are looking at it in a different way, and I think you're probably reviewing it yourself. It's been in now, how long? 18 months?
Well, since we've had the contract with Torbay, we're going to have a year.
Yeah.
And then assess what requests they've had, what they've done, how they've interacted with the police. So we will get some data to actually look at and see how successful we can.
It's a different way for me to look at the council. What I'm not getting is what I got a few months ago, which was constant requests. And who do I speak to? And the person I spoke to, via me or directly, was you. And I thought that was a tremendous burden. Because there's a lot of people asking for stuff. There won't have been a decrease in my colleagues asking for the footage, so I'm assuming it's working.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to me.
Yeah,
so I think we have actually also had a decline in requests because all the requests still come through us,
yeah,
and then we forward them to the Torbay CCTV room. No, but I would say there has been a bit of a tail off. But we've got a record of all the data access requests that have come in. I want to say there's probably only one or two a month at the moment, maybe even less than that last month.
As Inspector said at the start, though, the reports about social behaviour in the town, I think, were lower this year than last year. Maybe that's a factor. Maybe my colleagues are thinking more carefully about their investigation. Because before this system came in, of course, there were certain members of my team who could actually come into the building here and view it themselves. And we got requests left, right and centre. Been a bit more thorough before they go to that option. I don't know. We have also got more premises with CCTV now. So, you know, if you're around the Strand, premise stores have got CCTV, Palm on the other side of the road's got CCTV, Spoken's got CCTV. Most licensed premises, if not all of them in the town centre, have got CCTV, and it may be that that's capturing enough. So if we're investigating a punch in a pub where someone's been assaulted and the offender's left, previously, we may not have had the CCTV in the pub, but we were catching them trying to walk off. But if we do have assaults and things, we're still interested in their path or the direction of travel. I'm interested in that, Lisa, so perhaps we can have a chat at some time. I think school system.
Right.
We'll go from there.
Thank you, and that's all from me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Cagle. Councillor Deasy.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I mean, just really to follow up one you made about the youth survey. It's really more for your information, I suspect. The youth survey was done by a third party, so it wasn't directly by the council. But the key thing that concerned young people and was policing and safety. And half of them felt safe going out daytime and evenings, half of them didn't. We haven't drilled down on that information yet, but obviously there is a concern amongst that youth sector that they do not feel safe. And I know, really, I'm sure you do a lot of work with the schools and with the youth groups, but there is obviously still concern amongst the youth. So I really just thought I'd feed that back into yourselves. And if we get more information,
yeah,
or ask the people around the survey, if they get more information, they can pass it back to you. But that's going to be
you
welcome. Is that through you, Inspector?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
That's great. Councillor Galdhouse, I see your hand up.
Thank you. on both to say, I'm not criticising you whatsoever, you do.
But.
Personally, I think you do a fantastic job with the resources that you've got. You run the resources, I do, and I'm sure a lot of other people do. Firstly, what people are saying to me, what people are saying to me, it's gone off. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Hope you got the first bit. It seems that people believe that antisocial behaviour in Exmouth has increased. They also are under the belief that, well, they believe, and I think they're right, that we very rarely see police officers walking through the Magnolia Station, the Magnolia Centre that they used to. I think that people do still expect to see a police presence walking through the town centre. We do see police when there's a training session going on in Exmouth, and then that's when it gets noticed that there's a lot of police in the town, but other times there doesn't seem to be police presence in the town. You see the vehicles going around, but people would still like to see a bobbing on the beat. And I know that might be old fashioned, but that's what people like to see. And we would like to see the safety partnership reintroduced. You know that I spoke to you at the police advocates meeting. I did take it up with the officer of concern, and I've got a very negative response. I did go to Cabinet at East Devon and address the Cabinet on it, and the leader of the council said that he would be looking into it. So hopefully we can get them restarted at a local level, because I do think that the lag, or whatever it's called now, played an important part in bringing organisations together, and if there was a problem in a certain area, we seem to be able to resolve the problems by talking to other individuals, and we don't have that at the moment. So I'm hoping that you're still of the view that we would like to see the Community Safety Partnership, specifically in Exmouth, get off the ground. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Two actually, so maybe there is room for discussion as to have it kind of, I don't know whether it would be possible to have it as a subgroup or working party under the town council structure of meetings or not. But yeah, maybe there is room for discussion around that, because it's certainly something I'd be keen to see back on. As you know, I have a sort of 4 or 5 times a year forum with council advocates. I know that's not quite the same, it keeps the council communication open. So to have a multi-agency meeting running alongside that would be of value. Just going back to your other point, I'm not going to labour it, because I know we've had this discussion before over the years. The whole Bobby on the Beat thing, yeah, it's desirable, but it's not how we operate at the moment. Our operating model just does not allow for that. But the number of officers we've got and the demand of them, from the minute they come into work to the minute they go home, they are tasked and they are busy and they are dealing with stuff, and it does not give them the opportunity to walk around the town, which is regrettable, but that's where we are.
Mum, on that point, of course, during the summer council together, I was dedicating my neighbourhood team when they were on day shifts. Come in, go out for an hour, into the Magnolia Centre, and deal with any issues that present themselves, which, to be honest, ladies and gents, were about the street drinkers and their own social behaviour. The problem with that is, within 15 minutes of being there, we've arrested someone, and then the officers disappear. So unless you were there at 9:15 that morning, or 9:45 that morning, or 3:30 that afternoon, you won't have seen them for long. I think I saw you, Councillor Bailey, last week when we were doing the operation with the European shop. Did you walk past?
Probably did.
Yeah, on Friday. So we're in the town, and that day I had a big PSU van and 2 cars and a training standards vehicle there as well. But only a limited amount of people will see us. As the inspector said, what I can't do is have my officers in the town centre just routinely patrolling, I'm tasking them. We had 3 arrests, we had arrests understand it. I have to task my officers. We will be moving into a new period of high visibility policing that's been pushed right from the very top in Devon and Cornwall Police, where officers will be tasked to get out as soon as they can, first thing in the morning, late in the afternoon, when the schools are kicking out and what have you, there's a visible presence. My concern about that is if there's a domestic that needs attending, or a road traffic collision, or a sudden death, or a vulnerable person with mental health issues, we deal with them. And one last thing, Councillor, you know me quite well, and I saw you today, but you were busy and you were stalled in the ambulance, and you didn't see me walking past, you were chatting away.
You live on the channel.
Sorry?
You live on three tomorrow.
No, I promise. You talk about our resources, it's an interesting point. Actually, if all I dealt with was crime and possibly even ASB, antisocial behaviour each day, I've got plenty of resources. The problem is I'm dealing with my team, and my colleagues are dealing with mental health crises, they're dealing with missing people, they're dealing with vulnerable people, they're dealing with safeguarding. And I think that draws, we wait for ambulances, and the ambulance service has got their issues. We queue at hospital if we've got prisoners that need to go to hospital, etc., etc., etc. So I don't think it's that we've got the wrong amount of resources. I just think we're doing a lot of things that aren't necessarily what members of the public think the police would do, and that's meant that we can't just patrol around. Rant over, councillor. You know what I mean?
Can I just come back? Can I say I do appreciate your response, and I'm sure we've got some feedback, but thank you very much. And as I said at the beginning, I'm not criticising you whatsoever.
We have any approaches, councillor.
Thanks for that, Steve. Councillor Tim Dunbar.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ollie. Yes, I think you can speak to us by person in touch, Richard, if I may call you that. totally different subject now. I've been approached by, I represent Halston Ward, and through Halston Ward, as you well know, we have Exeter Road and Hullam Road, which are quite busy main roads. And I've had a number of complaints and approaches by residents pointing out the large number of vehicles parked on the pavements, particularly on the area if you go up on Exeter Road from Rivermead up to Cortlands, then on the left hand side there's almost all these cars parked up there. Seems there's not so many for sale now, there always used to be for sale signs there. But on Hullam Road, I also checked on Hullam Road, and there was plenty of pavement parking there in the middle section. The point that's being made is that accessibility for wheelchairs, pushchairs, etc. is much reduced, and of course, on busy roads like that, then that's a severe safety situation. The other thing to say about that is it received national publicity, not in our area, but nationally. I remember the government was recently promising that there'd be a crackdown on that kind of thing.
Well, I still think pavement parking is not legal except for some areas in London. I think that's still the case, isn't it? So unless there's WLA lines or other restrictions, then you're free to park on the pavement. Well, you know, it's not desirable, is it? And there's probably a highway code guidance against it, but it's not illegal to do so as such. It depends on people's personal responsibility, but it's not something that we can really enforce effectively. I don't know whether the council
we can look at that. I don't like saying no. The difficult for me has always been about local construction and all construction, and what can pass on the bit of pavement that's still free.
Yeah.
Now, if you've got even a single one, you know, a double one with a mobility scooter, as soon as someone passes into the pavement, it restricts access. What we have in some parts of the town is where it appears that nearly all the residents in the road will park that way, and it's sort of accepted. Now, on that area you're talking about, Cortlands, of course, recently had the new speed cameras put in. Maybe people have been parking on the pavement because they're concerned that the cars are banged into by cars and pass too quickly. Well, those speed cameras should be served. The amount that we catch in the first couple of weeks is incredible. I can get one of the PCSOs to do some door knocking. I've got no problem with that. The bit that, of course, the inspector likes us to do, and I like to do, is enforcement. Enforcement agency. We might be able to do that. With Hullam Road, whereabouts are you talking? Towards the top end on the left, are you?
I would argue, actually, if vehicles were parked not the pavement, they'd help them slow down vehicles on that bit of road.
Oh, sure.
And certainly it's helped that Hullam Road at the top, when you go around to the right, you can see the town. There was a period of time where there must have been something nearby. But it certainly slowed people down. We won't, on the data when it was last checked, we won't ever get the camera in Hullam Road. But again, I could get some work done about parking on the pavement. At that end, at the top, right at the top, parking on the pavement probably doesn't affect too many people. But it's,
Can I just come back briefly? Thank you for that. Just thinking about the police's enforcement powers with obstruction generally, because I think you can enforce, say, dropped curbs and things when people park across there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would certainly be, I say my view, I don't know the legalities of it, but it would be the view that if, as you say, the amount of space that people have got, they can't pass with a mobility scooter or a pushchair or whatever, then I would say, you know, you are creating an unsafe situation and it is an obstruction of the highway. That would be my...
I mean, ultimately, that would be tested at book court, potentially, but there's no reason why we can't try and educate them first.
Yes,
I think these things become accepted behaviour. Every neighbour do it, so I do it, and everyone does it.
And what I was going to say on that is we all accept that sometimes in residential roads, because of the width of the road, it is a good idea to park partly on the pavement, but on a main fast moving road, then it becomes a danger, I think.
Negative. Now, that's one I've noticed as well, actually, and I think sometimes it's tradesmen. Because I've got a big van, they park it on the pavement, but sometimes you literally have to step off the pavement and walk around it. Okay, Councillor Maddie Chapman. I haven't forgotten you, Maddie. You're on the list.
I'm on the list, thank you. Right. A couple of observations. It was brought up about the young not feeling safe. Well, I think every female in this room will say that when you get to a certain age, you become more aware. I remember feeling that. Now I'm an old bird, I don't care. I don't give a monkeys. But I'm sure if you're 18 and in your early 20s, you're more aware of what is going on around you and you don't feel safe. But that's from a female point of view. Police in the Magnolia Centre. My apologies, Richard, for accosting two of your officers in the Magnolia Centre. I think they thought, oh my God, what's this woman coming up with? But I just said it was nice to see them around, etc., etc. They look quite shocked. So I don't know whether it was just me or the staff.
They were outside.
Or people don't talk to them very often. I don't know, but I feel like they're out and about. I never noticed it. That's why I did. Yes.
Should have arrested you.
Yeah, they should have arrested me. That would have been fun, wouldn't it, Richard? If I'd fit having me at the station. What I wanted to say, it seems to be, talking to people, which is normally the information we sort of exchange at night, that there seems to be a group of five youths that are being very verbal and very difficult around the Magnolia and the Strand and verbally abusive. to the older population for some reason and taking the mickey.
Okay.
I am sure you've heard.
Girls
or
boys?
I don't know if you know who they are.
You know the girls or boys?
Boys. Very, very, very abusive. I think Franklin's and some of the others around were there. And there were comments about it on Facebook, because some gentleman had to go up and he intervened because they were having a go at an elderly couple.
Yeah, we were in that particular incident. We have got an ongoing inquiry into incidents that were reported.
Yeah,
we've got various crossovers of little groups as well, so we are.
Yeah, it seems, aware. From what I can gather, it's the same five.
Yeah.
So, you know, no,
yeah.
I just wanted to flag it up because
yeah.
it's been flagged up to
no,
me.
Fine, yeah.
And yes. I even accosted our inspector down on the Mare,
yeah.
which was great. Great fun when the travellers were around, so. Yeah, that's all I was to
What you raised, Andy, your first point is Finding Skates Women and Girls is a property for us at the moment, and we have a specific operational project called Project Nighttime, which
yeah.
is focused mainly in Exeter city centre, but we can use the same tactic here on identifying potentially predatory men, it is in the main,
yeah.
and
yeah.
protecting. There's a whole sort of block of
our chairman of licensing is here, it was also brought up that the girls need to, before they get into the taxi, make sure it is licensed.
Yeah, we had a little run of potentially unlicensed taxi activity probably earlier this year.
Yeah, there was a couple
yeah.
of incidents.
Yeah, in fairness, EDDC were good at that.
Yeah, we said we need to put it out there
yeah.
that the girls need to check before
yeah.
they get into the taxi that
yeah.
it's licensed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Charlie.
Moment that's e-bikes. We're also increasing our fleet of
bikes actually might be a useful alternative. Councillor Mike Rosser.
Good evening. One of your colleagues who will be nameless told me that on funny things, they're not pushing around dealing with emergencies, driving around in a car with nothing much to do really. And considering my colleague's comments about young people not feeling safe, would it not be better if they got out of the car and were a visible presence in the streets?
It would be, Councillor, and I'm going to ask you the obvious question, or two questions. One is, do that?
I won't answer that.
Yeah, well then, how can I address that officer that's clearly underperforming in my view, and hasn't got enough time on hand, they're not getting out, not doing this, just driving, they've nothing to do.
What you say, I mean, I guess you did what you suspected to do. Maybe if she's given a clear expectation that if the radio's not phoning and demanding action, they get out of the car and walk around that slip.
I don't know if it's not getting out of the car, but what about inquiries or workload? Actually going hunting criminals, hunting vehicles that are not insured and driven by just for privacy. I'm asking you a genuine question. I can't make you tell me anything.
Sorry?
But what is her role? Is she a responsible
I don't know how the police force is organised, but
so like, for example,
a PC in a car.
As an on-response in Exeter?
In East Devon.
Right. So I'm from Exeter, and my area is Exeter and Ottery St Mary.
Yeah.
So is it within that area?
I don't think so, no. I think it's the east.
I am niggled by that sort of comment.
You might like to suggest he transfers to Exeter and then come there, that would be all right. How busy it could be.
Okay.
We'll keep it busy if you come to work today. We're the members to ourselves. You might like to suggest that to him.
An internal inquiry going on, I think. Councillor Droywitz, and then we will have to move on, I think.
The only thing I want to say, actually, my son is a policeman, but he's in Jersey, the States of Jersey Police. And what you've said this evening is what he actually says to us, actually. Doesn't see much changes, actually. It is all down to resources at the end of the day. You can only do what you can do, and until such times when you have got resources at your disposal, you just have to invest with
them. But I think we will always expand to fill the available space. So, the complexity of what we deal with has increased over the years. So, what before might have just taken half the morning to sort out, and that can take a lot longer. So, you know, the demand has increased, as you know, the population of this area has increased significantly, the residential population, certainly my patch out to Cranbrook and stuff, has increased. The complexity of policing has increased markedly over the last 10 years, hasn't it? Especially around the vulnerability to safe.
I think Tristan's bugbear is all the paperwork that he now has to do, and he would much rather be out policing.
Yeah.
And he's stuck in the office having to fill out all these forms.
That's a government home office issue.
And crime is very much the same.
No.
No.
No. No. No. No.
Okay, thank you. Maddy, very quick one.
Yeah, I just wanted to end on a high note. I don't know if Richard and Inspector have seen it on Facebook. You're getting a lot of praise for a 6-minute response to a 999 burglary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all over Facebook, so well done, guys.
That's what we aim to do whenever we can, so yeah, that's what we strive for. Thank you.
thanks everybody for your questions. Everybody's questions have been answered, but thank you very much for coming.
Thank you all.
Appreciate the time you've given up.
Just one last comment. So lots of you have got my email address. If anyone else wants to share it, I do reply.
So we start with planning committee. We've got two minutes of meetings on the 14th and 29th of August. Those are attached. Do we need to move those?
We do those and the finance committee, but the others can be noted apart from the recommendations.
Excellent. Okay, so the planning committee, do we have a proposer? Councillor Whibley, Chair, Councillor Dumper, thank you. All in favour? Accepting those minutes.
Thank you.
Finance Committee, minutes of the meeting held on the 17th of August. I'll move those as I think I may have chaired that one.
Yeah.
I did. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Gazzard. All in favour? Thank you. Okay, so Town Clerk's report.
So neither Chet nor I have had time to write up a report. I made a note that there were a couple of things that I just wanted to update you on. One was that Councillor Dumper and I did have a conversation with officers at locality around the potential to get some funded support for a housing needs assessment for the town, which is with the intention of updating the neighbourhood plan. So there's some work. It looks like we will get the funding. We'll also get some funding, hopefully, for some policy review support for up to 15 policies. So that can be fed in at the same time. And I am working on an updated report on the effectiveness of the neighbourhood plan. I've been waiting on some housing data from East Devon District Council, which I've now got. So that will be forthcoming shortly. And then also just on behalf of Roms, in her capacity as our tourist information officer, just wanted to let you know that we are, we've commissioned a company to make some upgrades to the Visit Exmouth website. And you may know that we've recently commissioned a video as well that is going to be launched on the Visit Exmouth website. 3 days of fantastic footage in fantastic weather, and that's now being edited, so we'll share the links to that imminently. But the upgrades with the Visit Exmouth website are to sort of provide more functionality on the back of the membership scheme that we're offering. So it's sort of self-funded, because by offering more functionality, we can get more businesses on board, and then you know, it'll pay for itself, hopefully. Haven't got any updates from Chetna other than things that are already covered on the meeting notes and some of the recommendations.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving on to the Climate and Ecological Emergency Working Party. Now, the notes of that meeting were circulated this afternoon because I suddenly realised agenda was the agenda and not the notes of that working party. Were there any recommendations from that?
No.
That's fine.
Just for noting.
Are in your emails if you haven't seen. Community organisation liaison panel.
Thanks. Just comment on the CE, a couple of things.
Yeah.
Please do. Quickly. First thing is that our climate officer Zoe has been hard at work, and we now have Roshni, who has come and joined us as an intern. So we have a very strong climate and ecological team now, and Zoe asked me to emphasise the report on the Exmouth Cup. The Exmouth Cups, they're proving so popular at the moment, various outlets, cafes, etc. have come to us, anybody who comes across any cafes that want any, then please let her know. So that's one thing. The other thing is to say, you may have seen on the television last night that Kenton was flooded. Now, Zoe actually lives in Kenton, and I chatted with her this morning to find out whether she'd been affected. Apparently the water was within that of her front doorstep, and that she escaped and was helping out, apparently, with bailing out. So quite significant event over there.
Can I just add to that, please?
Yep.
So we've had prolific social media posts this week on Instagram and Facebook about the Exmouth Cup, and if you could like and share those, that would be brilliant. And secondly, if anyone's aware of any localised flooding issues over the weekend in Exmouth, we have had an email from Devon County Council Flood Risk Team asking us to report them. I'm not aware of any specifically in Exmouth Parish, but if you are, let me know and I can forward you the link to report it. Zoe is going to share the link with her neighbours in Kenton because they're interested in particular to any damage to property, etc. And there was considerable damage to property in Kenton. So. Thank you.
Great. Okay, thank you very much, Tim. So, moving on. Yes, community organisation liaison panel. Looks at the meeting now. Yeah.
Sorry, I shared that one. Except the notes, except I've just got one question I wanted to ask. Was, it was queried about the Health and Wellbeing Board and whether Angela Boatwright had stepped down. Do we know if she stepped down?
I haven't been told officially that she's stepped down, no. Tim, can you provide an update?
Yeah. Can I just comment on that? No, Councillor Angela Boatwright hasn't stepped down. But she's been extremely busy recently, and she in fact asked me to attend as a substitute this time. I in fact attended last time as a district council substitute, so I'm becoming a bit of a substitute.
Yeah, that's all right. And the reason why I'm asking is because we've got another meeting on Monday, and I'm sure the same question will be asked again, so that we have. Otherwise, we need to accept the notes, everybody.
Noted.
Okay, noted. Thanks for that. Yeah.
May I suggest Councillor Fred Cagle? Seen this well question it before.
We don't need, at this stage, we don't need to find a representative for it. I think it was just one off that Angela couldn't attend. Mm. So if it becomes a recurring thing, then we probably ought to formalise a substitute through this work, you know, through the full council meeting. But if it's a one-off, I think it's all right.
Okay.
Can I just say something, Joe?
Yeah.
Would it be not possible to put the vote at the moment?
We have asked if we could have two representatives, and the history was we had to fight quite hard to get one council representative on the Health and Wellbeing Board, and there isn't any appetite for us to have two. But we have asked historically.
I imagine there's quite a lot of organisations representing already. Okay, so moving on from that. Festival and Events Working Party.
That's Councillor Whips.
Yes,
Joy. Yes.
Yeah, well, the festival was very successful this year. And it was very enjoyed by everyone that attended, I certainly did. We now, of course, looking at the Christmas festival. We have had an issue with the Christmas tree, where we would normally put it in Strand. George Nightingale has organised a Christmas village in the Strand for 3 weeks. Where it's going is going over the hole where the Christmas tree should go. And unfortunately, it can't be moved. Wherever he's putting there, it can't be moved. So East Devon has suggested that we have a hole placed in the Manor Garden. So for this year only, it's not going to be a precedent. We're going to hopefully put the Christmas tree in the Manor Gardens as opposed to the Strand. Jess has got some fabulous ideas of things that will go on. We will still have a festival of sorts. Most of it will be in the Strand, but after the lantern parade, we will all go over to the tree and have the big switch on over there. We often find, actually, that most people dissipate after. Once the tree has been lit, most people go. So it's just going to be too hot this year for that. But apart from that, no, the festival was very successful, and Jess said we broke about even financially.
And did you want to advise about a date for next year's festival?
Yes, next year's festival.
It's round about the same time.
Yes, it is. The week before, it's about the 21st.
Yeah,
21st
the week before
July.
The August bank holiday.
Yeah.
So we're keeping it to round about the
same time.
August bank.
No, it's not the August bank holiday. It's the week before
the week
school
before.
Breaks up.
It's
no, it's
oh,
in July,
it's
not
July.
August.
It's
oh,
July.
Yes,
yeah. It's the weekend before, because Jess was a bit concerned that if we leave it at that particular weekend, people are going to be gone and going off on holiday. So a bit of a catch up on here. So that's why we made it the week end.
Yeah, but it will still be in July.
Yes.
Maddie.
I did have a word with George, and said, and he said, now trust me, he said, I will make it a real good Christmas market.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you guys want to come in and do something and help out, and we all work together, he said, we'll make it an absolute blast. So it's not Vince Droppy or anything like that.
Oh, no, no, it's East Devon. That's completely
the
problem.
Oh, yeah, well, we know about East Devon, don't we, Chair? We know about East Devon. But George has said, trust me, it'll be absolutely banging.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we can help him out as well, I think that might be a good way to go. Maybe Chairman of the Festival can go and have a word with George.
Jess is already in contact with him, so
it's not frightened of Joy, surely.
Thanks, Maddie. Yeah, I should just add that the period during which George has his marquees is after when we will have our light switch on, and so there'll be nothing in the Strand at that point. So then after it comes through the Strand unimpeded. But the problem was that if we put the tree there, then we would end up with a marquee on top of it.
It's not happening next year.
I think it's a good idea to put the pitch for where the Christmas tree goes in advance for the next few years.
We've never had to book the Strand for the Christmas tree ever. But I think there's been a bit of a breakdown in communication because his premises license has been granted, which is pretty set in stone of where things go.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were consulted on the principle of supporting the Christmas village that he's putting on, none of the paperwork with the layout that showed the potential conflict with the tree pit was made available to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never had to book the space. So what East Devon have said is that they're going to mark the tree pit on their asset register so that when they are looking at event permissions for the Strand, it'll automatically flag up that where the tree pit is and any potential conflict. So that'll
mm-hmm.
be a way round it rather than us having to specifically reserve the date.
We'll have to be careful,
don't
put
the
TPO on it.
Yeah, Monday, they take all when we come to the movie. Okay, thanks everyone. All right. But yeah, bit of a conflict this year, but we hope it won't happen again, so just know that. Right, Public Rights of Way Working Party, again it's a verbal update. Mark, yes.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, it was a very full meeting. I was pleased to have Heath Nichols, our P3 coordinator, and Sam Jeffcoat, the DCC Public Rights of Way Warden, with us. And they both made very, very good contributions. It was quite a wide-ranging meeting and a very thorough meeting, but I just want to pull out, obviously, the minutes will be available shortly. We only had a meeting the other day. But there was one very important issue which I do want to focus on, because it's actually generated a site meeting to which all members of the working party and any Halston councillors who are available on Thursday to that meeting. And this concerns neighbourhood plan, Valley Park section, and policies EN2 and EN3. Which cover Bacton Valley and the Little and Brook. But it's the Bacton Valley that we had a very long discussion on. Now, the issue, to put it summarily, and Lisa will correct me if any of these facts are wrong, as I understand it, our SIL panel has allocated £200,000 towards the work to develop the Bacton Valley in line with our neighbourhood plan. Now, unfortunately, we have not been consulted, indeed there's been no consultation at all, about the specification for the work or the tendering process. And so both of those two processes have happened, but without our involvement. So on Thursday, in the light of this, we've organised a fairly urgent, and I apologise for any inconvenience caused, but it is necessary, an emergency site meeting on Thursday at 9:30. I'll give the details of that. As I say, that's for members of the Rights of Way Working Party who are available, and any Halston members are most welcome to come as well. And what we're going to do with, I hope I've got his name right, Lewis Hoyle, who is the project coordinator. He is going to walk us through the valley with specification and the details of the tender. I'm not sure, I assume that the tender has actually been let.
I don't know that, Councillor Williamson.
There's more information that we need to tease out on Thursday, because basically we are paying for something. A great deal has happened, you know, which is rare in this world, you know, something actually. We want something, we put it in the name of the plan, and by heavens it's happening. The problem is that we don't know about it, we don't know the detail, but we will know a lot more on Thursday. Now, obviously the valley has a start and a finish point, and I've had to make some executive decisions on this, what we are going to do on 9:30 on Thursday with Lewis is to start at the Pan Blaine end, i.e. Greenfinger's end, and he will take us through. We could have started at the farm end, or the old farmhouse end and walked back, but I've negotiated with Deborah at Greenfinger's parking for us. And I did suggest to her that I'm sure at the end of a walk along the valley and back again, a coffee, a cafe might sweetener. I'm quite happy to offer car share just to reduce the number of cars. So if anyone who will be involved in this meeting would let me know, I will be here at the Town Hall, in the car park here at the Town Hall at 9 o'clock on Thursday. And if anyone, if that will help, and if anyone else is prepared to give a lift, perhaps you could let Lisa know. Lisa will just circulate back to the relevant members of Rights of Way and also Halston members. We will know more, obviously, at the end of that. I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions to Lewis. I will know, obviously, more on Thursday. I'm
sorry we don't know it now, but nobody knows it, how far we've got with the tendering process. Normally councillors aren't involved in tendering, but when I was on East Devon, I was kindly invited to take part in the tendering process on a number of things. And if the tender has not been let, then there might be the possibility of being involved in that as well. So there's a lot to find out. As I say, we did cover other issues in the working party, but that is the crucial one. I'm very happy, Chairman, to answer any questions as best I can.
Okay, thank you. I won't need a lift. It's a 4-minute walk for me. I'll be fine. I will just say, it's not entirely true that we haven't been consulted at all. We have had sight of the plans in the past.
That's right.
And we did express some reservations at that time at the width that was proposed, but I noticed they're still going on 3 metres, which seems a little excessive, even to those of us who cycle. Aurora, did you want to say something?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'd just like to point out, with the it's like the S106 and the SIL, I'm actually on that committee. We've not had a meeting on that committee for a long time because East Devon have not got any officers. They're looking for officers for this SIL and the 106. That could possibly be why they've gone ahead with what they're doing, Councillor Williamson. I'm only guessing this because they're waiting to fill this position. As far as I'm aware, this position has not been filled. We've not had a meeting to do with the SIL and the 106, which would have brought Valley Way into it.
You're right that we haven't had an S106 and a SIL working party meeting for a long time because there's no officers available for support because Selina's left and Jamie Buckley's now left. And obviously, Dave Cook was off for a long time. So you're right that we haven't had a meeting. But actually, the principle of support for funding for the Bacton Valley improvements came through full council following a recommendation from the S106 SIL Working Party. And that was ratified, which is when we gave the green light to East Devon District Council to go ahead with the work. I think there's been a bit of disconnect at East Devon due to change of personnel in the engineering team. So the engineering team that are drawing up all the plans, I think there was a hiatus for a long time because they didn't have capacity within the engineering team to develop the project further. And Lewis has picked it up, but he's fairly new. And I think there's a little bit of disconnect in the communication. But of course, the other thing is that it's predominantly East Devon District Council owned land, which is why it's East Devon District Council engineers that are working up the proposal. So, but I think it's positive that, you know, there's a community action in the neighbourhood plan that we might actually be able to deliver. So, yeah. And I am trying to get a date for a Section 106 SIL working party, but it's difficult to identify the officer support that we need. We're not in a position at the moment, I think, where we need to provide input on either community sport or play projects, because the input that we've had through Selina and Jamie historically, they're still working through those play park improvements and the community sports projects that went out to vote, and we haven't got any allocated SIL money. But I'm guessing, you know, there's Section 106 funds coming in all the time, so it would be useful to have an update on that. I'll try and get a date in the diary if I can identify someone that's happy to come and give us the support. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Just before we go off down the discussion of SIL and S106, I will just say, if you have a look at my report, which went out quite late because I wrote it at 11 o'clock this morning, you forgot to press send. So it didn't come out till about 5 o'clock this afternoon. But if you have a look at my report, the most recent SPC Strategic Planning Committee meeting did agree some extra staffing for that and a sort of mini restructure of the officer support around that. And we hope that it will be much easier for local councils to get the information that they need from S106 and SIL. That's nothing to do with the Bampton Valley project. That the money's been agreed and we allocated it, and the delay that such as this has been due to changes in the engineering department. Maddy.
Right, okay. This came up at scrutiny, and we know that the report on SIL went to strategic planning, scrutiny agreed, two members, extra members, and this is with SIL. We still have not sorted out the 106, and they have notified us that there's 150 106 monies that have not been collected. So it was recommended at scrutiny that East Devon contact the developers to get this money, because it's a 5-year limit, and one of the villages has lost out on their 106 money because it hasn't been collected. And this has been going on, I mean, Pauline and some of the others will tell you, this has been going on, 106, for 8 years, and they've had two members of staff working on it, and there are still no further forward. And we're talking thousands and thousands of pounds, and they don't know where it is. So that's where they are at the moment. But SIL is all right. It's 106 that is the mess.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, buddy. Yeah, there have been issues with that, but I'll just say that's not the item on the agenda here. So.
No, I
appreciate you updating everyone, because I think it's useful to know what's been discussed at scrutiny and SPC. But I do think Ed is on to this, and that he is trying to ensure that the situation doesn't continue as it has. But that will depend on them being able to recruit sufficient staff to administer it. Mark, did you?
Just a very final word, Chairman. Just going back to that. I don't want to put issues into other colleagues' minds for Thursday's meeting. But the two issues that have already been raised are access and.
So, where have we got to?
Town maintenance.
Thank you. Oh, that was that. I couldn't remember which item we were on. Public rights of way, that was it. So, town maintenance. Now, we do have a couple of items here, a recommendation from that party. One is that we proceed with inviting quotes for the grass cutting contract, which will commence in April next year, and we prepare to take the work in-house within the next 5 years. This was always the plan, that we would, I'll let Ian say it actually, but it was always the intention that we would go out to tender on this because of issues with East Devon, and the service we've been getting from them for the money that we're paying. And the second recommendation is to view the work carried out by the town maintenance team and whether we want to take on more of the work no longer carried out by DCC and East Devon to ensure the town remains clean and tidy. Ian, did you want to add anything on that?
Thanks, Ollie. I mean, you summarised it quite well, really. I mean, I'm sure you've got some
just to let everyone know, really, the current contract with Grass Cutting is with East Devon. They've carried it out for a number of years. There were various, there have been lots of issues over the last few years. We thought we'd managed to resolve those, but the performance in the last, in this year's contract has been less than desirable. There's been, there was a big delay in starting the grass cutting season because they didn't have staff resources. There was no communication with us, which I know that Chetna had real issues trying to find out what was going on, and we just couldn't get any information from them. So, as Ollie's already just said, the long-term our plan as a council last time around was that we would eventually bring work in-house. We can't do that at the moment because obviously there's resource implications in terms of investment in equipment and stuff. So but that's the reason why we're looking to go out to tender on the grass cutting now to try and get someone and to secure it initially for a 3-year period. But our long-term vision is still the same, to bring it in-house. And the second part really is to do with, I'm not proposing that we take over everything done formally by Devon County Council, East Devon District Council. Some of the work that they used to do, but there have been a lot of issues. You members may know that, or may be aware that our clients do go out during the autumn and winter period, and they use a machine called a weed ripper. We've only got one machine. It really, how it keeps going, I don't know, because it gets really intensive use. So what we're looking at doing is either procuring extra equipment. There are different types of equipment available now, because it is very resource intensive. We've also got a problem that it only actually takes the tops off the weeds, it doesn't actually kill the root. Now, we're not intending to, do not worry, we're not going to go out and use chemicals to spray weeds, but there's lots of different alternatives now available on the market. We need to investigate it further, so that's what we're looking to do, to see whether or not we can use some of that equipment to, and if anything's viable, to see whether or not it will save us time, because the weed ripping operation is very intensive, and we've got a big town here, and this is a problem, and it's getting worse and worse each year. So we're looking to try and alleviate and stop it getting worse next year. That's the proposals, right? More than that, take any questions.
What was that? Okay, I saw two hands simultaneously, so I'll go left to right, Brian. So if you go first, Ben Graham.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. I thought what you said about this weed ripper. My friend's got a very large garden, and it's very old, and it's got a lot of cobblestones in it. And I said, how do you keep weeds down? He said, flamethrower. It's very quick, very efficient, and it's very cheap to run. So that could be worth looking into.
Yeah, my world may go on. I'll make a note of that, and we'll see.
Okay, that's my only
question.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Graham. Thank you, Jeff. My slightly broader base question on the second part, really, when we're looking at taking on work from DCC and EDDC, almost by their failings, and we're picking up the pieces, and that's fine, I'm with you on wanting a clean and tidy town. What worries me is where does this stop? That with If DCC and EDDC are not making any contribution, either in terms of equipment or staff, because they're just stopping it, and we're picking it up and saying, right, that's maybe we can cover that grass cutting and those elements, but are there other elements in the services they provide that they'll say, well, we're just stopping it because the town council are going to pick it up, and what are we leaving ourselves open for? I'm just afraid that's the thin end of the wedge. And that's the only comment really on it. It's a slightly broader issue than this particular one. I'm not against what you're doing, and I would support it, but it does worry me about where does it go. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, I think it's a valid point, and I'll just give you an example very, very quickly. Both myself and Councillor Paul recently reported on DLAM Way, our guys have been up there three times this year, where the old Devon County Council tip used to be. Mm. There's a massive area of brambles there. Now, Devon County Council used to grab it down every year to stop it. Right, and obviously the problem has been it's grown over footpaths going in people's faces, so everybody's been keen going up there. And we both, as an experiment, reported it to Devon County Council to bring it to their attention. And we both received a reply, which basically said, you may wish to contact, they didn't know, obviously didn't read it and come from very clearly, but it, to both of us independently, said you may wish to contact Exmouth Town Council, who have the resources to tackle this. I mean, and this is which I get your point entirely, so we're not part of it. You know, we are, our eyes are fully open. But it does prove the point that, they've now been told, you know, that is not, that should never have been a standard response anyway. It's on Devon County Council own land, and it's Devon County Council's responsibility. So it is I totally agree with you, and 100%, and we've also had an issue with Wolfsnane where they used to cut back the hedgerows and stuff because it and clear out the ditch. They've not cleaned out the drainage ditch for years. And that wall coming down, it was massive. Our guys were asked to go along and cut it back, which we didn't do. We said, no, we're not doing it. It's not our responsibility. So yeah, we're quite firm in that, but I do fully understand where you're at.
Okay, thanks.
Lisa, did you want to come in here?
I suspect I'm going to say what Maddie's going to say, the history to us taking this on dates back to 2014, when there was a decision at Devon County Council, due to funding pressures, because so much of its budget's going on social and elderly care, that they were going to have to pull back from non-statutory services. And unfortunately, in terms of highways development, highways maintenance, we've seen lots of things cut back. They will do the visibility splays, which are the statutory cuts that they have to do, but a lot of the cosmetic stuff they've withdrawn from. And it was a conscientious decision on the part of the town council to budget to do what we could. It started with us taking over the flower beds and the roundabout maintenance, and it's gradually increased. And that's reflected in the fact that our team has increased to 4. And could possibly increase further. I suppose the recommendation from the town maintenance working party is framed that in such a way that, you know, we're recognising we do need to review how much we are prepared to do going forward and at what cost and how much appetite there is potentially for us to increase the precept to do that. And that needs to be a fairly transparent process, I think. But it started back in 2014. That's when Devon County Council first started making their difficult budgetary cut decisions.
Okay, thank you.
I think Maddie was next, but...
Yeah, I've got... Maddie. Yeah.
Thank you. I fully agree with Graham, and Ian knows as well, and we are watching. When our county council cut back, and we obviously didn't have the staff and the equipment to do the work to keep the town looking nice, making it safe, coming out of driveways and the grass and the corners and things like that. And we agreed, and then Blacktop City, it grew, and then we had a horrendous row for about a year, basically over the costings of what East Devon was charging us, anyway, a whole year, and there was a big fight, and that's why Chandra's taken it on. We've got the men, you know, are doing a fantastic job. Public are very pleased with what they do. Ian is keeping an eye on things, but we are watching because they are both councils are very good at saying, well, we'll ask the town council to do it. Well, you know, no, we won't. I seem to remember, and Ollie will remember, us having a row down at the ocean when Japanese knotweed came up on the bank down on the way by the railway there. And they said, oh, well, you know, that's fine, we're not going to do it. And I said, well, our guys are certainly going to touch it. it's Japanese knotweed, it's on your land, it's your responsibility, we won't have anything to do with it. That's why we only did the front of the bank and left the back. It's now grown, this Japanese knotweed, and it's gone down into the colonies down there, and now the County Council are treating it, and it's going to take them a good 7 to 8 years to get rid of it now, because they wouldn't do it when we wanted them to do it. So now we are watching them, we are aware, aren't we? And we have been paying for a member of staff for East Devon who is supposed to work with us during the winter around town. And we decided, well, we don't really know what he's doing or what's going on. So we have got that under review as well, because it might be, if that is the case, it would be better if we employed someone extra ourselves, rather than give the money to East Devon. And we don't know where he is and what he's doing or what's going on. And you've got to maintain control. But they're up to all sorts of tricks, but it's all right, Graham, we're on it.
I don't know
how to manage. Yes, I think part of the problem is that they're simply not doing it. And I accept the thin end of the wedge argument, but they're just not doing it. And as Lisa says, they'll do what they're statutorily obliged to do. And if it's not a statutory responsibility, they'll just not find the money for it. Aurora, do you want to add to that?
Right, thank you, Chair. I know we're talking about maintenance, grass cutting and etc. I know exactly what you're saying. And I tend to agree with Councillor Deasley. If they're going to sneak us taking in over Devon County and East Devon on grass cutting, are they going to sneak our toilets in? Are we going to be responsible for our toilets? I know it's not on the agenda, but we're taking on grass cutting. Are they going to ask us to take on our toilets?
No.
No. Yes.
You know,
that's a short answer.
We're not
less,
having that.
Less,
they might ask, but we're going to say no.
Less,
All I'm saying is we need to watch what's going on, because it's grass cutting 1 minute, it could be something else next minute. And just by the way, do you want to take on your toilets?
Yeah, well,
you know,
we'll yeah, the thin end of the wedge argument is fair enough, but I think, let's not go down any alleys that we don't need to. Pauline.
Thank you. If you're going to give us any money towards all this, which I presume they're not, then what about their equipment? Because if they're not using that equipment, why can't we have their equipment? Why can't that be some sort of deal done there?
And
they're not using it.
Well, that's right. We need to, I think confusion's right a little bit. What we're talking about, the two parts of this, the at the moment, our contractor for cutting the grass is East Devon. They supply the equipment, it's their equipment. They're not saying, I mean, I don't know if we go out to, they poorly performed on the contract over a number of years. You know, enough is enough. We gave them another 12 months and it's been worse this year than ever, so end of story. What they decide to do with their equipment, they'll still use it because they'll still be cutting around the estates and the grass, the verges that they cut anyway. In terms of Devon County Council, no, you're quite right. I mean, they don't own any equipment. All of their work is, Highways work is contracted out. So the visibility cuts that they do, which we're not taking on, by the way, this has nothing to do with visibility. That's all done by private contractors, and in this area, it's done by a tree company from Homerton. They're having to do grass cutting in the summer. So there's no equipment that we can get off of them, because there's nothing to be had from Devon County. And the East Devon equipment is theirs anyway. So if we go out to tender, the contractor will have to supply the equipment. But that is why our long-term plan is still as a town council to bring it in, to bring that in-house, so that we're no longer paying someone to do it, we can do it ourselves and have control over it. But that will take time to get the, which will be cheaper, but absolutely right.
Well, I don't know about it being cheaper, because it was still having to pay for it. And it's cheaper for them, but not necessarily for us, is it? Because we're going to have to pay to have contractors to come in.
Well, rent twice
come
already now.
You're coming house.
Meanwhile, it's not going to be cheaper. In the next few years, it's going to be more expensive.
The decision was made long before I became a councillor, by the town council, that that was the way going forward, because you didn't. The town council view was that rather than the massive amounts of complaints that there were at the time, because verges were so tall that nobody could see getting out on side roads, that decision was made taken by the council. We've kept obviously continued with that.
It was taken by the council only to keep a little bit of the account, little bit of it tidy. It wasn't the whole contract. We're doing no more grass cutting now,
and we have not done any more grass cutting since I've been doing town maintenance than what there's ever been. Mm. We're just cutting the same bits of grass, that's all we're doing. We've taken nothing.
That's right, thank you.
There's two parts to the recommendation. One is that instead of EDDC being our contractor, for the grass cutting, we go out to tender, which we did with the grounds maintenance before, and they did tender, but we decided to bring it in-house at that point. And the second part is the one where we simply keep under review what we're picking up in terms of what other councils are not, they're simply not doing any longer.
Yeah. I was going to say, because if it's on the anywhere to do with the council estates,
East Devon are doing
East
that.
They
will still cut Fear Park and all of that. Just the areas they cut on our behalf that we will be taking.
Cut the council bits and we'll get them to cut.
Okay, Councillor Gazzard, then I'll come to you again, Brian.
I don't know whether you've got a proposal, but I'm happy to propose the recommendation number one, and I'm also happy to recommend recommendation number two.
Okay, so we're taking the two together. You're happy with that? Proposer and seconder.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we go to a vote?
Yeah.
All right, Brian.
Well, I'd like to say something before, if maybe relevant, so it may not be.
Well, if you make it quick, then we'll go to the
phone. I think we should bite the bullet and get the relevant equipment as soon as we can, because by the time we've done another 3 years paying East Devon or somewhere else, that would have paid for the equipment anyway. Mm.
We'll find somewhere to store it first.
We'll leave that with town maintenance.
We've got Fear Park.
Let's leave that with the town maintenance committee, and that will come back as another recommendation. Take your point. But it's it is a plan. It is a long term plan, and that will be done in stages. Okay, we have a proposer and seconder. So all in favour? Excellent. Thanks very much. Okay, that goes forward. We now, I think, we're up to part two of the agenda, so I shall have to ask our... you're all right, you can stay if you like, because I've missed out the reports from the members who represent the council on outside bodies. Can we look forward to you standing next time? Thanks very much for coming. Okay, yeah, sorry about that. I've missed out. So, reports from members who represent the council on outside bodies. Tim, Fair Trade Exmouth.
I thought I presented a written report there. I don't know if people have seen it, but it is very much worth saying that after a lot of delays on the renewal of our Fair Trade status in Exmouth, we now have it, and I'm not sure yet, Lisa, whether a certificate, copy certificate has arrived with you, but
no.
the letter is being sent over so it can be put up on the wall as we have previously. Congratulations to all those involved. And thank you, Steve, also my fellow member on the group.
Thanks, Tim, for your brevity. And yes, I did see your report, so yeah, well done. Okay, Ex-Estuary Management Forum, Councillor Graham Deasy.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yes, a written report has gone out today. There isn't really much to report back on the management partnership, the Ex-Estuary Management Partnership, that I think is self-explanatory, but the main committee meeting is later this month. But as I said, there is a written report, and if people have got questions on it, please get back in touch with me directly.
Yeah, thanks for the report. Yeah, quite useful to know what they're talking about there. It's over to you again for the placemaking group report. I did refer to this in my report as well, but please do update.
Thank you, Chair. Placemaking is reaching a fairly critical stage now. There are two parts of my report again, which has been circulated. But one, there was a forum, a workshop, which took place on the 11th of September. This was bringing together stakeholders, councillors, community groups, business reps, and so on. And it was really a follow-up to the meeting at the end of July. And what they've done is identify some distinct, what they call character areas within sort of Exmouth and the seafront area. And again, the report, it's just really the gateway and estuary approaches, the marina area, the town centre area of the Magnolia Centre and Strand, the seafront, but split into different sections, sort of with Orkham Mayo and the Esplanade. And then there were other areas, like Exeter Road, Fear Park, and Windsor Square, that they are taking into account all of these areas. And part of the workshop was to identify what sort of characteristics that these places currently have and what that participants would like to see in those particular areas. And it was just suggestions at this stage. And it ranged really from, if you like, the most things that might have the most impact but maybe the most difficult to achieve. And top of that list really came the Magnolia Centre redevelopment. Mm-hmm. But that's an aspiration that people wanted to see. In one form or another, either with the bulldozers or to create a green space or whatever. But so that was one extreme. And at the other end of the pile, the second part of the most difficult to achieve was cleaning up the seas and the waterways. Those are two critical points that people want to achieve, you know, it's fairly top of the agenda if they could, but they're going to be the most difficult. And in the simplistic terms, possibly can still have good impact, but things just like signage and waymarking. Mm-hmm. So as part of the placemaking scheme, those are the sort of suggestions that went forward. And they're not stopping there, because one of the things made fairly clear is that if any of you individually or as a council we have ideas, feed them into WSP now. These are the consultants. Now that can be done through Jerry Mills, it can be done through me, through Lisa. If you have any ideas, either as an individual, as I say, or on part of your constituents as to where you want to see the town going, please get those suggestions in now, get them in fast, because what is going to happen next is that from this meeting they've taken ideas and now they're going to start formulating things. Okay. So unless you feed it in now, you know, we're lagging behind. And this, to me, obviously I have a passion for this, but it's about Exmouth's future. Mm. And unless we have a say now, we're going to get railroaded. And so please, if you do have views, let them be known and put them forward, because after that it'll be too late and we'll sit here, you know, 5 years time and say, oh, I wish we should have done this, or what did they do that? I'm sorry, I'm down for, quite frankly, if we don't. So I think that if you've got any interest in the future of the town, please keep an eye on the placemaking thing now. It's getting to a very critical stage where what goes forward will go forward. And we went up, there will be consultation with Gerard after it. But you know, there will be suggestions in place.
Yeah.
Can I just add a caveat to that, though?
Yeah.
Graham, I queried with Jerry Mills whether the recent stakeholder workshops were accepting new ideas, because I was a bit I'd heard feedback from various sources that it was almost like there was a blank piece of paper on the table again, and that seemed that seemed slightly disingenuous against the series of consultation workshops that this town council were involved with prior to the elections. And Gerry was at pains to say to me that it was more a sense-checking exercise to make sure that all the ideas that were teased out as part of the stakeholder consultations that this town council was involved in prior to the elections are still current, and that it wasn't a case of new ideas being injected. It was very much a sense-check operation, because they've been through the consultation process, they've got the consultation responses, but because WSP have been brought in at this stage, they wanted to sense check that what had come through that consultation process was still relevant. So just in terms of managing people's expectations, I don't think we've got a blank piece of paper, but I think what they're trying to do is assess that what they've gathered so far through the consultation process is correct, is capturing the sentiment of the town. Is that the sense that you got?
I think as part of that, that forum, yes. But there's a lot of people who weren't in that forum who still have ideas and
some
issues. And we've received an email from Gerry saying, if you wish to contribute, then please, you know, do so now.
But I don't want councillors to have the view that we've gone back a stage and it's another round of open consultation, because I think a lot of the work that was done pre-election, they're now building on that. But it's not the case that we're going back to stage one with another blank piece of paper asking for people to put ideas in. I was told quite clearly that it's a sense-checking exercise to verify that all the consultation responses that they've got and that the engagement they've done previously, that they haven't missed anything.
Yeah, I think that was my feeling as well. But I would still say, if you do have a kind of proposal or something you'd like to see, I think Gerry is still happy to hear from you, because although we definitely weren't starting from a blank sheet of paper, I think what WSP are doing is looking at the town and thinking, what are the key areas, what are the things we want to happen there, and what are the things that need to happen to bring some of these areas together. So I think that there is still that possibility to have some input. But yeah, totally agree, we're not starting from a blank sheet of paper again by any means. Fred?
Yeah, Chair, if I may just ask a quick question of Graham. Has the placemaking group or any of that sort of body of people considered that this town has grown massively in the last few decades? A lot more car users. We have an active climate emergency, you know, trying to get people to reduce the use of cars. The car parking in Exmouth has not changed at all. We're due to see a new road built from Dinan Way across to Courtland's Cross. Devon County Council is in the process of purchasing the various bits of land that we need to build that road. Has anybody considered putting a park and ride up there so that people can come to the end of the road, park and ride into the town? Because we have not got any more capacity from any more car parks. We can't build any more car parks, because we've got no land. But if we're going to buy land up there, I think it'd be a good opportunity to do a park and ride like Exeter's got and everybody else has got.
I think that was suggested, actually, wasn't it?
I've not heard it anywhere.
No, it certainly was suggested. In fact, part of my little report said that we were reassured that issues, the macro issues, if you like, you know, the pollution, the traffic flow, management, sustainability, demographics, leisure trends, all those sorts of things are being taken into account as well. And that is the background, that's the scene setting. And then within that, with using some of those parameters, park and ride was certainly mentioned, things like the lorry park, should that be moved because part of the lorries are being moved, not coming through the town centre and that sort of thing. They were discussed at that particular meeting, so yes. They were certainly on their agenda.
Yeah, that's fine, thank you.
That's right.
Aurora?
Thank you, Chair. Well, I don't know where to start, really. It's been over 10 years
this placemaking has been moving. I know it's all changed, we've got different people running it. I went to every consultation on that placemaking, and I'm as passionate as you, Graham, on this, and I'm sure you're doing your best, and I appreciate what you're doing, and it's not anything, I'm not saying anything that you're not doing, it's just, it's not moving on, is it? It's not moving on, and all this process that's going on again is the same old thing, you're just putting different titles on it, and also, I, as a councillor and a person that lives in Exmouth, would like to know what's happening to Harbourview Cafe, and I'd like to know what's happening to the Coastwatch, and I'd like to know, you know, what's happening to the park. I understand you're going on to the Magnolia Centre, it's placemaking right through Exmouth. I do understand the process of it. I was on it for 4 years, and I'm very passionate about it as well. But it's all gone quiet again, and people keep asking me, even though I'm not on it, I am passionate about it, and I'd like to know what is happening with all these other things, all these temporary things we've got on Queen's Drive. It's not only Queen's Drive, I understand that. You've moved forward, but all you're doing is putting different titles on the same things that you've done for over 10 years. Can you explain that to me, please, Graham?
Thank you, Chair.
I'll just say the whole process has been over 10 years, it's gone through a lot of changes since then. But yes, I understand your frustration, but I think it's important we get it right rather than that we rush in and just shove things in piecemeal that we then later regret. I'm going to let Graham
know. 10 years, it's a long time to get it right, isn't it?
Yeah, I totally agree. Graham.
Thank you, Jeff. I think that's the next phase, quite frankly, is what you're talking about, suggestions, looking at the use of the land, right along the seafront, which is that complete area from Auckland, right along the seafront, right round up the estuary into the town centre as well. And that's their next phase. That's why I'm saying it's so critical that we pay a lot of attention, that they've done their homework, if you like. They've now put together these pieces of the jigsaw, and they are coming back before the meeting in November, I understand, with their suggestions as to the best use of the land right through. Now, until we get that, we haven't drilled down into the detail of what's happening to, you know, what building or what is where. That has just not been forthcoming. And it won't be until such time as far as I know, it goes back to the placemaking committee in November. I'm sure it's November date. And until we get that, there is no detail that's come out of it.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to take two more speakers, and then I think we need to move on.
I'm worried that we're going to run out of time
for
the part B.
Absolutely. We've still got a major item to discuss in part B, and I want to be on to that by 8:30. Brian, keep it short, please.
Certainly, Ollie, thank you very much. Well, this is deja vu with Bill's one, isn't it? We've all been here before almost a dozen times. And the bottom line, as far as I can see, my personal opinion, not the council, obviously, is that one, there is no money available for this at all. And two, there is no land to put it on. We talk about Magnolia Centre, that's owned by someone who's got an office in the Canary Islands. Are they going to sell it to us? And if so, they're going to need a hell of a lot of money for it. And we haven't got that money. So
this,
it's all pie in the sky, Chair, with respect. I can't see it going anywhere.
This isn't EDDC making proposals necessarily. This would require a huge amount of partnership working, where you can set policies and directions of travel that influence what happens in certain areas. I think we all knew that knocking down the Magnolia Centre and rebuilding it nicely was not going to happen, but it was a possibility. It was something we'd all love to see. Pauline.
Thank you. I've been the only person in the room who was on it 15 years ago when it first started. I'd just like to know, for the last 4 years, has the car park sign in Mayor Road, for Mayor Road yet gone up? Because that's what they did for the last 4 years. Just go to show around.
No,
it
wasn't working.
Okay. we're just.
Can I have an answer on that? Has it gone up?
No, I don't.
The answer is no, it hasn't, but it was promised for September. Promised for September, and we were reassured at the placemaking committee meeting that it would be in situ by the end of September.
Yeah,
we'll report it back.
Okay, we're waiting for DCC to do that.
Okay,
so thank you, Graham, for that. We noted that report. We've given it a bit of an airing. We've got two more to go, then we're going to go on to Part B. So, Twinning, Tim, and Webb.
We've got a couple of other items before Part B, Chair.
Sorry?
They're quick items, but we've got items 8 and 9, which
we've
done
yes,
as well.
Sorry. Yeah,
that's
we
why
have.
I'm saying
yeah.
we need to be mindful
yeah.
of time.
Yeah. So we really need to crack on there.
Yeah. I put in my district council report and I put in the Twinning report. I haven't made a health and wellbeing board report. The draft minutes have already been issued and I think the minutes will be circulated to us before very long. So there was a lot of information came through it, but I don't think it's worth highlighting anything in particular.
Okay, thanks Tim, we'll look out for those. District Councillor's report's been circulated. County Councillors, I don't think we've had anything from them. Richard's not here tonight. So we'll move on to item 8. Which is to appoint an additional councillor to the Gorfin Hall Management Working Party. Lisa, who
I believe
volunteered?
Cherry Nicholas has volunteered, and I think Tim Dumper has volunteered.
Excellent.
Well, volunteered.
How many do we need?
Two is fine. That's
okay.
That will make us core.
That's fine. So, Cherry and Tim, do we have a proposer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Write down two names, Lisa.
Ryan, thank
all in
you.
Favour?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Excellent. Now we need a voting rep and a non-voting rep to go to the AGM of the Devon Association.
Yeah.
Devon. Yeah.
Not
the
Dion
Association.
Yeah,
not
the Devon Association.
I thought he was dead. the Dion Association. And it's Wednesday 27th, which I know I can't do. So, do we have any
Councillor Dumper is attending and was our voting representative last year.
Yeah.
Councillor Dumper's on the county committee.
You're
happy to do that too. Brian, I don't think you can be our voting representative as the director of DALC,
can you?
So,
no. Right.
Could I suggest Tim, if people are happy with that? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in terms of a non-voting representative, I mean, there will be five or six other councillors there anyway as non-voting reps, so that's fine.
Okay, that's fine. So all in favour of Tim going to that meeting? Thank you.
Looks like you're going then.
Okay, right. Final. Part B.